What an absolutely un-rock and roll time to be chatting. 9:30 in the morning. What's that about?
It's 10:30 for me, but still just as painful. Yeah, especially because it was like a first night off I'd had for ages. So me and some of the crew stayed up, and I'm in Bologna just now. We were firing into the local Reds, and I'm a little bit woozy this morning.
Well, fair play. I mean, there you are. Okay, well done. Well done on making the chat, first of all. What a nice life you must be having at the moment. You know, now, are you finding Europe really, really hot, or has it calmed down a little bit?
Oh, you mean weather-wise?
Yeah.
It's actually quite nice here. Like last night, I was out walking around in Bologna. It was that kind of, you know, that lovely, perfect temperature where it's just right for your shirt sleeves, but you don't feel too warm or anything like that. And it's a beautiful town. And it's one of those moments where you're kind of pinching yourself, kind of go like, wow, I'm a lucky so-and-so, aren't I? Like get the tour around. The world in a rock and roll band. It's not that bad, really.
It's not that bad. It really is not that bad. You know, and that the sound of the crickets, and they're doing their thing at night time, and it's just a beautiful feeling. And we're not used to it in the part of the world that we come from, you know, Scotland and Dublin. It's the same kind of useless weather. We've been washed out of it. But please.
Oh, has it been like that?
It's been horrible. But, you know, hopefully end of August, it's going to be nice. Now, I know you've been here a million times, but I've got to say, I think this is probably the most special venue you'll probably play, the Collins Barracks in Dublin City Centre. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous venue.
I've heard a lot of people telling me it's really, really special. So I'm really looking. I've never been myself, so I'm really looking forward to it. It's great, and also I'm looking forward to seeing Pillow Queens and Really Good Time as well playing with us. Again, a lot of people have been telling me like how amazing Pillow Queens are live. So I'm very, very excited about the whole thing.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you be? When you think back on some previous Dublin shows like the RDS, or you played The Point as well, and the Olympia, of course, do you have good memories of those shows? Yeah.
I do. I have amazing memories of those shows. Like the Olympia is like, it's a very special venue. It's kind of like the Olympia in Paris, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just like soaked with history. And like, you know, you feel this sweat of 1,000 icons have been on those boards before. Mm. But like RDS last time, I remember that particularly because there was a young band opening for us. Somebody had sent me a couple of singles. I was like, oh, wow, this band's amazing. We definitely need to get them to play with us. And called Fontaine's DC.
Ah,
and,
here.
They were, oh, my goodness. I just remember sitting inside the stage, watching them going like, this band's incredible. I absolutely love this. And we're very, very fortunate to play with them. So maybe it's going to be the same with Pillow Queens next time. It's great. You know, I always love having a strong, characterful band to play with. It's always a total thrill.
It's a great way that you put it there, a character band to play with rather than open for us or support us. You call it playing with, because so many acts back in the day, they'd be nervous of the support act being better.
Oh, you see, you know, I think we were quite lucky when we started off. When we were in that position, when we were in the opening position, we played with bands who were very welcoming. In fact, first time we played in Dublin, it was with Interpol.
Yeah.
And they were great. I got on really well with them. And me and Daniel were still really close. We still see each other quite a bit. But they were like that, definitely made us feel part of it. And, you know, nobody really knew who we were, but we definitely felt like we were welcome in the room, if you know what I mean, which
absolutely
is how it should be.
Yeah. You're right. You're all on the same bill. You've all got the same job to do, and that's to get the claps and the most out of everybody who's standing out there in front of you. And you want those cheers to be as big as they possibly can. So what are we going to get? Obviously, we've got the Greatest Hits album out of the moment, Hits to the Head. I like the name of that, by the way, Hits to the Head. You're out there, you're touring that now, you're doing it around Europe. You've also got a show in Scotland before you come to us. Is going home an exciting thing to do still?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll be going back seeing my folks and catching up with my pals and that sort of stuff. So we've got a couple of days before that. So it'll be nice to kind of like see everybody. And as for the shows themselves, we've been doing the sort of like the Hits to the Head tour. Yeah, so it's kind of like all the bangers, really. But We've also been, before we came out on this tour, we spent a month or so back at my place in Scotland, recording the new album. So we'll play a couple of those songs live as well, because I know if, the way I see when I put together a set list like that, I always kind of like imagine how I'd feel if I was in the audience and it was a band that I wanted to go and see. And I'd probably want to go and see something new as well, like so, like, oh, what's give us a hint of what you might be doing next. And so yeah, we'll be doing that as well.
Does it get a little frustrating though when you do have an audience in and they're clearly there for the hits, you know, and then when you do try something new, people bugger off to the bog and things like that? Do you ever see that from the stage? You probably don't give a toss, do you?
Oh, but the thing is, like, it happens on every album that you did. Like, I remember, like, when we first started playing new songs, like, with the first album, or even, like, the beginning, like, when you've got one single out. I remember when we had Darts of Pleasure out, and like, you start playing other songs that aren't on the single, like, oh, yeah, I don't know this one. It's just the nature, isn't it? But it depends as well. There's different kind of audience members and different kinds of levels. There are those who just want to hear the songs that they heard on the radio, and that's fine. I'm not going to judge anyone for that. That's just why you're at the gig. But there are others who do want to hear other things, and then there are others at the other extreme who kind of like turn their noses up when you play the big bangers. They're kind of like, oh God, not that one. We all know that one. Give us something new. So it's a bit of a balance. You've got to make sure that ultimately, you're doing a show that you feel invigorates you and enthuses you, because you've got to be excited by it to get the audience excited. And I don't know, I love being on stage, and I love the interaction with the audience. And I don't now, I'm at the point now where I don't really think about it that much. It's so instinctive. It's just there. It's just what happens.
I was reading a review of you guys in The Guardian, and just before we chatted, I'm just looking around for some stuff and everything else. And one of the big prevailing lines was a really good time. That's what you seem to set out to do, though. Everyone walks away after having a really good time.
Definitely, and particularly live as well. Maybe it's a selfish thing because I want to have a really good time as well. I want to come off that stage totally buzzing, because it's funny. I was watching an interview the other day, like after Sinead O'Connor died. There
Oh
was
God,
a
yeah.
there was some footage of her and Shane McGowan on an Irish TV show. I can't remember which one it was, but it was the two of them being interviewed. And Shane McGowan was talking about the live experience and what it's like. And he was saying the same thing. And it's funny because I've not heard many artists actually talk about that. And just saying, like, it's the biggest buzz you can possibly get in your life. No matter what else you try and put in your system, there's nothing that's gonna match that feeling that you get when you're on stage and you put together a really, really good gig. You come off that stage feeling completely buzzing. And I know a lot of artists feel like that as well, talking to them. And I think that's something that drives us on. And yes, I do want to have a really good time, and I'm unashamed about that. Like, I want to thoroughly enjoy it. And for me to have a really good time, the audience has got to have a really, really good time as well. And damn, it's glorious.
It's that simple thing, though. If you're enjoying it, we'll enjoy it. There's no point in, the way you go see some bands and they all hate each other, and it's clear from the vibe on this that's coming from the stage that they're not having a good time. And therefore, yes, you'll enjoy the hits because they're pros, they play them well, but a vibe has got to be there. I think you were talking about Sinead and Shane there. That was around the time they brought out The Haunted. Sinead, what did she mean to you? Did she mean anything in particular? Was she just one of these singer-songwriters that was on the periphery, or did she mean something?
Oh no. I mean, so she like hit massive mainstream success when I was a kid, when I was at school. And of course, like for everybody, like she had a massive impact. She was an icon of her era, completely independent in her thinking, the way she presented herself, with the wonderful combination of assuredness, self-assuredness, and absolute vulnerability
Yes, what a
simultaneously.
conflict. What a conflict.
And I think that's what made her so completely magical, like in everything to do with her art. And Also, a very, very complex individual, obviously. But truly, that combination of vulnerability and she always looked kind of like almost kind of not embarrassed to be there, but kind of like wondering why she was there. Kind of like even in that interview with Shane, like she's always deferring to him in the interview. Kind of like, oh, what do you think?
Yeah,
As if kind of like,
she was like a shy
why would
little
you listen
kitten
to
or
me?
something.
Yes,
Absolutely.
I. But at the same time, like being completely comfortable in her views and how she felt about herself and who she was, and like a complete icon and absolutely beautiful as well. Like
Oh my
I was
God,
just watching her in that
stunning.
interview. It was there's something about the way her eyes like glittered, like there's just like an absolute beacon of light coming out at you,
You know,
like
it's
stunning.
funny when somebody dies like that, you find yourself going back through the catalog of things, and then you realize when you listen to stuff again, maybe with newish ears, you kind of realize, do you know what? Without Sinead O'Connor, there may not have been an Alanis Morissette, or there may not have been a Florence and the Machine, because some of that early stuff from the Lion and the Cobra, you can kind of hear where those guys may have gotten some influence from. Incredible, absolutely incredible. But anyway, back to Franz Ferdinand. Have you any Irish, by the way? Will you be able to give us anything from an historic venue like the Collins Barracks? Will you be able to go? And Díogaith, all that kind of stuff
I
for.
don't have any relations in Dublin these days. It's funny, I did do one of those DNA tests. I got my parents to do those DNA tests, and on my mother's side, there's a lot of Irish blood in there as well. But there's a lot of everything. Like she, so my
Of
mum's
course.
from,
Of course, you're a Celt. Of course, the Irish.
Well, funny thing is, my mum actually grew up in South Shields in the northeast of England, and like I knew there was a lot of Scottish blood, on my grandfather's side and on my grandmother's side. I knew the Scottish blood, but came back like a lot of Irish, a lot of North African,
No
a lot of
way.
Scandinavian, Vikings coming over and doing a bit of marauding, I presume.
Yes, of
And
course, yes.
so very interesting. And then on my dad's side, like I was teasing my dad because my old man's Greek, and I was teasing him and saying, well, put it this way, the Greeks and the Turks feel about each other a little bit like the Scots and the English do. So I was saying, that's going to come back and you're going to be Turkish, you know that, don't you? And it came back and he's about a third Turkish. So I absolutely loved it. So I can trace some Irish back genetically, but it's a big jumble. Like I am your archetypal mongrel. Like
No,
I
of
am a
course,
complete.
and we all know the best dogs are mongrels. We all know
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mate, we're looking forward to seeing you. It's going to be a good show, and we will see you at Collins Barracks on Sunday 27th. Now, bear in mind, Sunday night, you might get some people, you won't, but you might get some people going, oh, I don't want to go out on a Sunday. So here, final word, Alex, why should we be there?
Because you will have a mental time. It will be amazing.
That'll do. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Marty. It's
Have a
been amazing.
great day. Look after yourself and stay safe. Okay.
You too. Cheers,
Bye
man.
bye. See ya.